137. Let's all stand as we sing together.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you trust in His word. Hark to the voice of God to me. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word.
Excited. We're going to sing that again. And when I get to that ending, I just want you all to sing that so pretty. How great. See, I can't sing that high right now, but I'm getting there. All you sopranos that's out here that hadn't told me you sing yet, you just sing that out loud and I'll close my ears and I won't come to you and ask you to be in the choir. Just sing it to the Lord, all right?
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me. How great thou art.
Is there anything too hard for you?
Mr. Possible. It's all because he lives. Let's sing it together. Let's sing that chorus. Let's stand as we sing together. Then you can shake hands right after we sing.
Because he lives, I am praise to all.
This time we want to receive the offering. I forgot that a while ago. And also, how many of you all did not get a copy of the budget? Let's see. They ran out this morning. Just hold your hands up high. And Jim, we'll get those to you. We printed what we thought was one for every family. Just hold your hands high. And this guy in a blue shirt's coming down the hall here. Aisle. They've got my picture on them, and right there, over in the corner. Still about two more up here, Jim. Oh, there you go. Okay. All right. God bless you as you give tonight. And we had a good start to the year this morning. I think the offering was somewhere around $7,300 this morning. And I appreciate the good start for the year. I've often said, preachers don't have church by itself. And so I appreciate your giving. I appreciate your serving. I appreciate your praying. And it all goes together. Let's pray. Father, as we bow tonight, we thank you for the privilege to pray. We thank you for the privilege to know that you're in control, as the choir sung. And because you live, we can face today, we can face tomorrow, the day after that. Bless the offering now. I pray you'll be with those who are sick. Lord, some of this virus and intestinal stuff has taken around. And so, Lord, be with these people. And Lord, just bless the offering, the gift, and the giver. In Jesus' name, for Christ's sake, amen. Turn your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. Jody, what was that little old lady that went, that used to have all those Sunday school pens from Cedar View? Miss Griffith, yes. I remember the first revival I helped was at Fellowship Chapel in Bristol. And a lady from Cedar View Methodist Church, we called her Mother Griffith all the time. She lived by herself right there at the red light in Litz Manor. And I'll never forget the first night I took her home, I said, "Now, Miss Griffith," and she was in her 80s then, and I said, "Now," and they wasn't a porch light on or nothing. I said, I'll sit here with the lights on." "Oh, no, Brother Pugh, just go right on. I'll be just fine. I don't need a light." I said, "Well, you don't have your porch light on." "I never turn on a porch light when I go to church." She said, "I don't even lock my doors." She said, "The Lord lives with me," and she said, "I just go right on in and go to bed. Don't even turn on a light." And she went in. I told Francis, I said, "I'm going to sit here and just watch this." And I went in, I sat there 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, and then there was a light went on in that house. But one night at Fellowship Chapel, we just had one of them meetings where, I mean, heaven just opened up, just rained all over us, and several folk got saved and rededicated that night. We was coming back down the road, and you know how you're doing after you've been in a good service like that, you're just letting it all just soak in, and Miss Griffith was sitting in the back. "Brother Pugh, I've just been thinking." I said, "Why you been thinking, Miss Griffith?" "I just thinking if the Christians get on fire, the sinners will come in and watch us burn." And we just, you know, and I laughed, but I thought what a truth that is. Amen. I want to preach tonight on keeping up the fire. Amen. Keeping up the fire. If there's anything that we need as a church and collectively and in our lives individually, we need to keep the fire burning. And part of that's our responsibility. Part of that is God's. And I want to preach tonight up on it and lean for a few minutes. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered to him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, and any of all these things that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord," look at this, "and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespass offering." Aren't you glad there's a remedy for sin? Aren't you glad there's a getting right place when we've been to the getting wrong place? And then the Bible said that he would be forgiven of all that he hath done. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out." Listen to that, folk. "And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. It shall never, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The book of Leviticus is a very strict book. The book of Leviticus is a book of laws. It's a book of thou shalts. It is a book in which God uses pictures and uses different laws to show his people and to teach his people holiness. Now, you don't be afraid of that word holiness. A lot of Baptists have got afraid of that word holiness. But it is a doctrine, it is a part of God, and it is what God demands of his people is holiness. Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And in these verses that I've read tonight, God tells us and gives Israel a law, gives them a principle by which they're to operate. Now notice this, salvation is pictured in verses 1-7. And in verses 2 and 3, you have the revelation, because he reveals some of the things that are sinful that they need to do. He said in verse 2, "If a soul sin and commit a trespass offering, a trespass against the Lord, and lie to his neighbor that which was delivered to him to keep in fellowship." He said the fellowship could get damaged, or he could not, somebody give him something to keep and he loses it. And tries to lie about that. Or if the fellowship gets fractured or whatever, or he takes something that does not belong to him, or hath deceived or lied to his neighbor. And so he says that's sin. And so that's a revelation. Well, the Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's not a one of us in here that every day that we live do not need an altar in our life. And Jesus Christ is our altar. We talk about coming to the altar. We talk about making an altar somewhere. The old people in my day used to talk about going out in the woods, making an altar or somewhere and getting where they would go pray and have fellowship with God. But then in verse 4, you have restoration. I'm glad that God, even in the Old Testament, had a plan of restoration. I'm glad that our separation from God was not permanent. I'm glad that God fixed a way whereby that man could come back into fellowship with him. And then verse 4 talks about the restoration. Verse 6 talks about repentance. And that man was to demonstrate his repentance by bringing an offering. In verse 6, he was to bring his trespass or sin offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock. Notice it was not just to bring anything, but he was to bring something as near perfect as he could. Now, you know and I know that the sacrifices of the Old Testament never did take away sin. It was just by faith looking to the perfect Lamb of God that would come to take away the sin of the world. And so that is the repentance. I mean, when a person repents, they give evidence. They want to do something to prove that they've got right. I mean, I remember when somebody would get saved when I was a boy, they'd say, "Well, so-and-so's professed religion." And they say that he's really acting different. Hey, people looked at him to see, and they watched people to see what kind of a change was in their life. One guy said, he said, "My dog didn't even know how to respond." He said, "I went home the night I got saved and reached over and petted my dog and said, 'Hey, good old boy,' and said he went to yelping and run off the porch. Because he was used to me cussing him and kicking him and getting out of the way, but there had been a change." One man said he lost half of his vocabulary when he got saved. Amen. But notice tonight, there is a repentance that takes place. And then verse 7 talks about the reinstatement. And so here you have the whole picture of what God did for us. Now, fire is made by a combination of solids, liquids, and gases. And I want us to look at it tonight. Fire must have three things in order to burn. Number one, it must have fuel, it must have heat, and it must have oxygen. All three of those things must be there in order for there to be a flame, for there to be a fire. When I think of the fuel, I think of the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, he said, while I was musing or while I was meditating, the fire burned. If you want to get a fire burning in your heart, folks, just read the Word of God. There's nothing that'll set your heart on fire. There's nothing that will satisfy and excite you if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, the Word of God ain't going to do too much for you. I mean, you know, I hear these folk talk about, well, I found some contradictions in the Bible. The only contradictions between their ears. But I notice the Word of God is the fuel that'll get a fire started in your heart. And then for heat, there must be the will. Our wills must be crucified. Our wills are awful hard to die. But boy, when our wills are put on the altar and we're committed to Him. And then for the oxygen to fan the flames, there must be the wind of the Holy Ghost. There must be that wind of the Holy Ghost to bring it. Now, a fire speaks of several things. Number one, a fire speaks of warmth. I mean, when our hearts are on fire, when there's a fire burning in our heart, then there'll be warmth. I mean, you'll be easily approached. I mean, just warmth, warmth. I mean, you're drawn more to warmth than you are to coldness. And so a fire speaks of warmth. Then a fire speaks of waste. A fire will burn up things that we don't necessarily need. If you go by the Eastman, you know they've got those incinerators and got those places where they go and burn things and they're burning up. And you go by the coke ovens over in Wise County and over there, and those coke ovens are burning nothing but flame and they burn up the slag and so forth. And the Holy Ghost fire in our heart will burn up the wasteful things, the things that we really don't need in our life. And then fire speaks of watching. I mean, and like Mother Griffith had it right when she said, if the church will get on fire, the sinners will come and watch us burn. I mean, listen to me tonight. God forbid. But after we go home tonight about 2 or 3 o'clock, and I mean, let's suppose that somebody is driving out by and they see smoke boiling out from the windows of this place, and they see heavy smoke, and then after a while, flames will burst through. I mean, you know what and there's people that's never been here, never give this place a second thought. Man, they'd get out of bed, just come and watch this place burn. And I want to tell you, friend, that's the way it is when the church, when something exciting takes place in the house of God. I'll never forget 7 years ago when we went to sing a funeral over at Slank, the old Slank schoolhouse. That thing had a real high roof, and it had a pot-bellied stove over on the side. It had a one of our stove pipes that run up about as high as this, wind the wall. And I noticed after we sung our first song to sit down, I noticed some smoke coming out a little bit around the flue of that thing. But I didn't pay much attention to it. I just figured, you know, they had a leak in it. And some way it wasn't sealed like it ought to. We got to singing, and I had a high part in one of the songs we sung. And the old man's dog had come to the funeral. And he got in the back, and he started howling. I went up on a high note, and he went up on a high note. And I mean, you know, you ain't never been to no funerals until you've been to funerals with me. But I noticed the further that thing went, the more that thing smoked. Rightly, Sally got up to preach a message, and he started to preach of all things on hell. Amen. And all of a sudden, we're standing up there, sitting there watching, listening to Rightly preach, and flames burst through that thing. Flames burst through that wall. I mean, that thing was on fire. Oh, Harold Davis, I mean, I never saw that man get in a hurry for nothing in my life. He's a funeral director back there. He's standing there, and he's sitting that thing, and here come Harold Hotfooting down aisle. And he stopped, got up there, and he said, shh, Rightly said, preacher said, we got to get these people out of here. This thing's on fire. Rightly said, very well, may we pray. And I thought, Lord God, pray my foot, pray outside. This thing's on fire. Well, you get on fire, people come watch you burn. I mean, fire. I mean, you take some old slow poke down through here. I mean, you know, it takes him 15 minutes to go 10 feet. But I mean, you pour a little gasoline on his behind and strike a match and see if the business don't pick up quick. I'm talking about fire. I'm talking about getting on fire. I'm talking about things. I'm talking about watching. And then fire speaks of wrath. I mean, God's got a fire that's kindled, amen, and it's kindled with the wrath of the Almighty God. There's a place called hell where people are going to burn forever and ever. The sad part of it is that while that you and I are here tonight in this service, for the 1 hour that we will be here, there will be, I think they say it's 168 people an hour across the world that die. And you think about how many of those people die unprepared to meet God. And folk, you only go through this world one time. And after you get out of here and after the last breath leaves your body and you go into eternity, you ain't coming back. They ain't no second chance to get right with God. I mean, the fire speaks of wrath. But I want to say something else. A fire speaks of a welcome. I mean, just there's nothing about being out on, when you're out on a cold night and you see a light in a window and you see the smoke come out of the chimney. There's something attracting about that. Something about that says there's warmth, there's help. I can get warm. I can find safety in that fire. But now listen to me. I want you to look what he said here in these verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Listen, I want to tell you, Christian, God, that fire needs to be in your heart, in your bosom, all night. You can wake up during the night and have fellowship with Christ. You could wake up in the middle of the night and think about scriptures. You could wake up in the middle of the night. David said he giveth his beloved songs in the night. Amen. He giveth his beloved songs in the night. And notice that. He said that fire is to be burning all night. And the priest, now look at verse 10. The priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. Now look at this. And he shall put them beside the altar. And I wondered about that. I kept looking at that and kept thinking about that. And I wondered, why did he do that? Why did he just throw it out? Why did he just get rid of them? But even those ashes were precious and were very symbolic. Here's the thing. What happened when that sacrifice was put on that altar and they burned it down to ashes, that priest would go in there and scoop all those ashes out and put them in a container. When he put them in that container, he would put them by the altar and next to the altar. But he didn't throw them away then. But you know why? Because our Lord was crucified. But for 3 days, 3 nights, he was in the grave. Here's a picture of our Lord. Here's a picture of our Lord being, my friend, and set aside. But notice something else. And he shall put off his garments in verse 11, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. Paul wrote the book of Hebrews and said, Christ himself suffered for us without the camp, outside the camp. They put him out in a foreign place and crucified him. And so when our Lord was crucified, they took him down off the cross. They took him and they put... I wonder, why did that priest change his clothes? And here's what I believe it was. Your interpretation probably as good as mine. But listen to this. I believe that priest changed his garments because it was a picture of God the Father. And the same priest, my friend, when Jesus went to the cross and died. He died in the flesh. When he rose in the flesh. But listen, he had different garments on when he came out of that tomb than he did when he went in. They wrapped him in a linen garment. They wrapped him in a linen cloth. But when he come out, the scripture says, doesn't say anything about him not having any clothes, but that priest changed his garments. You know why? Because those ashes were filthy. Those ashes were dusty. And he did not wear the same clothes. A friend, when he buried our sins and took them away. The Bible said, the old song said, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Amen. And so notice this. Look what he said in verse. And there's another reason why they took the ashes away. because the ashes would smother the flames. Just old dead ashes would smother the flame. I remember preaching one morning. I was preaching something along this line, and there was a lady there, and I'd get her to sing every once in a while. And I'd preached that morning about cleaning out the ashes so we could burn for Jesus. And she come back at night, and I got her to get up and sing for us. And she was just country like me. And she just talked like that, you know. And she got up to sing, and I mean had God 10 mile deep on her when she'd get up. Love the Lord, live for Jesus. And she got up, and she said, you know, this morning after he preached, she said, I went home and got dinner on the table. And while I was eating, she said, I slipped off in there in the bedroom and shut the door and got down on my knees and cleaned out some of them our ashes. Amen. Boy, sometimes we just need to get somewhere alone with God and clean out some of them ashes. That keeps the flames from burning. And let the Holy Ghost fan the flames again, those hot coals in our heart. Amen. I think the primitive quartet sings a song, The Fire's Never Gone Out. Amen. I want to tell you, but look at it. Look at it again in verse 12. Here's what I want to say, then I'll get to the message. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat. That's the best part of the peace offerings. You see, listen, look at that. Ain't that wonderful? After the burnt offerings, after sin has been dealt with, then there can be peace. Amen. Well, you get that when you get to the house, and the old man will jump out of bed because you'll start shouting at 4 o'clock in the morning. Amen. You'll get to think about that. But the burnt offerings, the burnt offering, after the burnt offering has been ordered for sin, the peace offerings are ordered. The peace offerings come. There can be peace. An old man was dying. The preacher went to him and said, sir, said, have you made peace with God? And he said, no, I haven't. He said, wouldn't you like to? He said, it's too late. He said, oh, sir, no. If you have a desire, it's never too late to make peace with God. He said, preacher, what I mean is Jesus made peace with God for me, and I accepted that peace. Amen. Amen. You and I didn't have nothing to make peace with God over. But then look at verse 13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. I want to say to you tonight, Christian, we've got this idea that, well, you know, you can't be spiritual all the time. And I understand that what we're saying. I know you can't stay in church 24 hours a day, but church can stay in you longer than that. And he said the fire is to always be burning. The fire shall never go out. And I want to say to you and me tonight as Christians and as a church here at Homeland Baptist Church, that we need the fire to burn. And there's a certain responsibility that we have to come. And there is an offering that's been made for our sins. And that's through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was offered up for us. And every day, by faith, I have to reckon myself dead to this old flesh and alive unto God. And by faith I come to God and confess my sin and ask him to forgive me on the basis of the shed blood of the Lamb of God. I do that. I can do that every day. I can do that several times a day. But here's two things what he said. He said the priest is to burn wood. Wood is a type of humanity. Boy, it takes just putting your will on that altar. It takes letting God burn up on this old flesh. And he said, the fire shall never go out. And I want to say that you tonight as a Christian, that you have a responsibility to stay with God and to stay in this book to see that the fire will never go out. Paul helped keep the fire burning in Acts 28. And look with me at just a verse of scripture in Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, and here's what he said in this. He said in verse 26, he's talking about the slothful man. He talks about all these things. But then in verse 20, he said, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Where no wood is, the wood speaks of humanity. That's me and you. And he said, so where there is no talebearer, the strife cease. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. And so he said, there is no, the wood, he said, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. And folk, you and I have got some things that we've got to assemble. There are some things that you and I have got to put on that. Now notice something. We need a spiritual fire in our churches, but we need some folk that'll keep throwing wood on the fire. That'll have some positive things to say. Notice this. The fire's gone out in a lot of hearts, and it's cold. Did you know that in our country today, that there are more and more Baptist churches? I read on a website the other day where a Baptist church over in North Carolina, an independent, fundamental, premillennial, pre-tribulation, don't smoke, don't chew, don't even speak to folk, don't use quarterly Baptist. And they've quit having, they've changed their services from 6. They say our Sunday services will now be at 3 o'clock on Sunday. You know what's going to happen? Pretty soon, did you know you go across the country and there's a lot of Baptist churches that are canceling services on Sunday night year round? There's Baptist churches not having church on Wednesday night. They say we just can't get nobody to come out. And that's the same crowd that says, I'm going to live in heaven with Jesus for eternity, but I meet 3 hours a week with him in church, and they can't stand that. How in the name of God are they going to stand eternity in his presence? But notice this. But the fire's gone out of a lot of hearts. The fire's gone out in a lot of homes. And the love's grown cold for each other. And I tell some of them, I read about this old man and woman sitting there eating at the supper table. And she looked over at him. She said, Henry, I want you to take that trash out. He said, woman, I didn't cook this trash. And I ain't not taking it out. How can you tell when you need a fire? The fire needs to be built up. Your faith gets cold. Just can't believe God for nothing. Just don't believe anything can work out. Your joy gets cold. They had a cigarette commercial years ago. Are you smoking more and enjoying it less? Well, there's a lot of Christians smoking more, but they're enjoying it less. They're doing more in the house of God, but they're enjoying it less. Their joy's got cold. Their thoughtfulness has got cold. You used to be concerned about a brother or sister, but it just passes them by. God bless me and my wife, son John and his wife, us four no more. We're getting along good. You do best you can. Thoughtfulness is cold. Kindness toward each other is cold. Worship is cold. Testimonies are cold. But here's what God said. He said, Moses, the fire is to never go out. And I want to tell you tonight that God's will is not that the fire would go out in my heart. I want to tell you something. You know what brings me back to reality? And I found the one thing. If I get vexed, if I get troubled, if I get cold, if I get dry, if I get weary, the thing that brings, snaps me out of it quicker than anything is to go to Calvary and start reading about Jesus dying for me and get to thinking about his precious blood and get to thinking about how they beat him and whipped him. Man, what a Savior. And what a privilege tonight. Folks, could I remind all of us tonight that in Jesus Christ we have something tonight that the rest of this world don't have. You can't get this in Washington, D.C. They can't give it to you. They'd tax it if they could. And you'd have to be the right party or they probably wouldn't even give it to you. But I want to tell you something. I'm glad salvation's free to all. Amen. I'm glad. And I want to tell you something. If you find yourself getting cold, please, please. You know what? I read, you know, they had those avalanches out in Colorado. And they was, and this dear man that left his family a few weeks ago and got stranded. And they found him dead out in the cold, out in the snow. And they said he was just about a mile from the highway. He got disoriented. When you listen to me, Christian, look at me. When you get cold, one of the first things that happens to you, you get disoriented. You lose your way. And then number two, some people who have been rescued in these avalanches that were almost dead when they found them. You know what they said? The last thing I remember, I felt so warm and so comfortable that I felt like I could sleep forever. Bernice Clifton brought me a cup back before she moved. She brought me a coffee cup back. And on the side of that cup is, my coffee cup is, "Don't talk to me, I'm grouchy." I bring it out at special seasons of the year. And you know, when we get sleep and start going to get cold, we don't like to be woke up. We don't like to get woke up. I think about people that's got low blood sugar. That blood sugar gets low. You go to sleep. You may never wake up. Sweet level in a lot of us gets low. You see. Don't let the fire go out. Let's bow our heads.